Welcome to WQXR's Arts File Online. It's Friday, March 26th. I'm Carrie Nolan. Composer and lyricist Stephen Sondheim celebrated his 80th birthday this week, and he got a pretty unique gift. The name of Henry Miller's Theater on West 43rd Street was changed to the Stephen Sondheim Theater. His work is on brilliant display in a new review at the Roundabout Theater called Sondheim on Sondheim. His musical, A Little Night Music, is in revival on Broadway. We wanted to talk a bit about Stephen Sondheim and his work, and joining us is David Cote, who is theater editor of Time Out New York. Good morning, David. Thanks for being here.
Well, it's great to be asked.
Okay. He wrote the lyrics to the music for West Side Story. He wrote A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, Company, Follies, Sunday in the Park with George, Sweeney Todd. What is it about Stephen Sondheim's work that makes him stand apart from, say, Candor and Ebb or Rodgers and Hammerstein?
I would say that more than any other composer of the 20th century, he helped the Broadway musical to grow up, to attempt darker stories and lyrical complexity and emotional ambivalence. It's not that these things never existed before in works like Showboat or, you know, even Oklahoma, but I think he brought it to a whole nother level in terms of the difficulty of the lyrics, the brilliance of the rhyming and of the wordplay, and of achieving a balance of the transcendent happiness that musicals can give us with, you know, bouncy tunes and the dark undertow of, you know, psychological turmoil in shows like Company, a musical about a guy who can't commit to a relationship.
For all his brilliance, though, he hasn't become that kind of household name like, say, Rodgers and Hammerstein have. Mm-hmm. Why? Are his shows not big enough?
Sondheim's musicals generally don't make their money back. I mean, A Little Night Music in the 70s was a moderate hit. The revival of Sweeney Todd, in which the performers played their instruments as well as acting, that made its money back, but mainly because the overhead was so low. The current revival of A Little Night Music with Angela Lansbury and Catherine Zeta-Jones is doing really well at the box office because of marquee names. The name Stephen Sondheim isn't necessarily, you can't bank on that. And I think it's very interesting that the Stephen Sondheim Theater was named after a theater owned by the Roundabout Theater Company, which is a nonprofit. You would think that in the last 5 or 10 years, either the Schubert Organization or the Niederlanders, the two big commercial landlords on Broadway, one of them would have said, hey, we've got to take this old theater with turn-of-the-century name and give it Sondheim's name. But they didn't. It took a nonprofit, which has been producing his work pretty consistently over the last decade, to do that. And it sort of indicates where the producing energy for Sondheim is. It's in the nonprofit sector.
The renaming of a Broadway theater seems like an incredibly high honor. There have been others over the years, but it seems like there's kind of a rotation to the naming. Let's talk a little about some of the other theaters that have had name changes, and what are the chances that the name of the Stephen Sondheim Theater will eventually change?
If the fortunes of the Roundabout Theater go south, yeah, I mean, that would, of course, be a huge scandal in the theater world. But I'm hoping that, of course, won't happen. I mean, we'll have the Stephen Sondheim Theater no matter what. I think the Roundabout, for example, would change the name of Studio 54 before they change Sondheim so quickly. It's a question of money and prestige. I mean, recent theaters that have gotten new names, the Al Hirschfeld on 45th Street. Before that theater, there was the Bernard B. Jacobs and the Gerald Schoenfeld Theaters. And those were named after the president and chairman of the Schubert Organization, respectively. Most theatergoers are like, who's Gerald Schoenfeld? So it's kind of like, you know, the landlord got to name a theater after himself. Good for him.
You've said it's not likely we'll see the likes of Sondheim again. How come?
Well, maybe part of it is that anyone trying to write a Broadway musical these days wants another Wicked or another Spring Awakening. They don't necessarily want to make another Pacific Overtures. People aren't necessarily going to musicals for lyrical complexity or for witty rhymes. They're not necessarily going for emotional ambiguity even. I don't want to say that Broadway audiences aren't capable of taking in a musical that has layers of feeling or that, you know, is a quote-unquote adult musical. But the truth is, the commercial energy right now is more towards families and teens, actually, who want to go to a musical and feel like they're really getting either rock music or pop-influenced music. And Sondheim just never really wrote in that mold. His music is sophisticated, and he can do everything from pastiche of 1930s and 40s style music to stuff that's a little more, I don't want to say atonal, but a little more difficult and thorny. But he never tried to write a Hair. He never tried to write, you know, a Pippin even. In some ways, old-fashioned musical idiom, but very intelligent, energized. I mean, nothing sounds quite like Sweeney Todd or Assassins. His 1991 musical about presidential assassins through the ages. I think Sondheim definitely was one of the most daring in terms of taking dark subjects and treating his audience like adults.
Thanks a lot for being here, David.
Thank you.
David Cote is theater editor of Time Out New York, and that's today's Arts File on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR. I'm Carrie Nolan.